Negroni Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roney@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. Check 1, 2. All right, very good. This is Jeff Roney, and again, we have invited some very interesting folks today in the Roney Zone, and I want to learn all about them and what they're doing. I have Dana Dietrich and Paul Clark. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing great.
We are going to be talking about their company, and it does a lot of really cool stuff, Sirius Vanity Music. And tell me how, first of all, let's tell me how it started. The Sirius Vanity Music.
13 years ago, I was just a poor little community college student, and I was a music student, of course, was really wanting to get into composing and putting my own CDs and tapes at the time out there, and I had read an article when I was a teenager where Steve Vai talked about how he started his record label. And I wanted to do that, too. I saw that as being, I kind of felt the entrepreneurial spirit really early on. And so as I was kind of wrapping up my collegiate career, as it was, I went down to City Hall, got my business license, and just dug in. From there, I did a lot of, like, copyist work for a little while. I did just some really general sort of music contracting that as I sort of grew my studio, and it was very, very small always, but it gradually grew into what it's become now.
Now there are two parts to it. There's the record side and the music side.
Yeah, with Sirius Vanity Records releases independent music. Our aim is to make music fun again, both for ourselves making music and for people who love buying music and really want that fun experience back. And then Sirius Vanity Music is a production studio and a music licensing house. We aim to kind of bring visions to life for some really, really great companies and causes and entrepreneurs who want to make a difference in the world.
Yeah, we just really want to be able to kind of not only make it fun, but make it easy for music supervisors and people who are looking to license music to find music that not only fits their project, but is an easy acquisition for them and makes it to where they don't have to spend the exorbitant amount of time cutting through red tape that they would having to go through traditional licensing houses.
Gotcha. Now, what I'm zoning in on is the whole licensing aspect, because obviously that's very important. The wild, wild web and podcasting is kind of on that gray area. It sounds like you take the headaches out of making sure that everything is all taken care of.
Oh, definitely. And, as we've learned as a small business, because that's really, as fun as, rock and roll and all the other aspects of being, in a really creative field are, at the heart of it, we're all just small businesses that have the same needs. And the easier, a lot of times things that are easy actually kind of trump things that are cheap. People think that the bottom dollar is what everybody's looking for, and it really does come down to experience a lot of the time. And so we just try to put ourselves in their shoes and go, what would make my life easier if I were them? Mm-hmm. And, that's just try to deliver a little bit extra in that way.
Give me an idea of the breadth of people that would come to you for your licensing service, let's say.
Definitely, probably small filmmakers, larger filmmakers and advertising agencies as well. But definitely, we get the heart of people who want to really create important things and want to find something that is a little bit off-center in order to tell their story. Hmm. And whether that story is this great product that they've come up with, whether their story is this cause that they have, that they just need something that is just a little bit different than what people have heard before. You know, I think that people want to hear something different now. I think we're living in a time where everything needs to change just a little bit. And I think that we really connect with the kind of creative people that are in either creative businesses or themselves creating something of themselves, like filmmakers, that want to connect with something like that on all levels. And I think that we really fill that need.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just the filmmakers and, you know, like TV music executives and things like that. You know, there's also plenty of room for the podcasters and the bloggers as well.
Mm-hmm. And we've worked with a lot of speakers and motivators and just people trying to reach people. I mean, it's a new, as you know, it's a new field out there.
Right.
It's a new way that we're communicating.
I think what is interesting is that you mentioned that I think, can someone come to you and say, I want this to sound like Braveheart? And then you may say, well, that's good, but, and you may have another maybe off-center type of a sound created by another type of symphony, right? Is that kind of what you're saying too?
A little bit. I think that, you know, we do kind of try and gear our listings to give people a, you know, if you're trying to replace this might be something that would work here, but it's also got a little extra something here.
Gotcha.
Attention to that might even be better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that people, I know everybody wants to compete with what is mainstream and what is out there, but if we can take it to the next level and the next level being deeper instead of higher, then, you know, I think that we fill that need.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and having our production studio in-house as well, we can oftentimes meet the actual needs of what people are going for as well.
Mm-hmm. We can hone, if there's something that we have and their specific needs need it just a little bit different, we can alter that, like, really easily.
Well, and that was going to be in my next thing, is tell me about your studio services.
Well, we do a variety of things. We've actually been nominated for a couple of voiceover awards over the years.
Hmm.
We've done quite a bit of voiceover work. We've done production work from everything for little small businesses just digging into the American dream. We actually were, one of our clients was in The Secret. And banks and larger companies like that. So it's kind of, we've gone the whole spectrum as far as who our clientele is. We do a lot of things involving the video game industry.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. We've done music. We've done voicing for that.
Sound design.
We actually, one of the more interesting projects we've done, we like to take on the people that are definitely a little bit outside of what might be other people's comfort areas.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually one of our clients who was... had a very strong Islamic belief and could not have any music in the commercial that we needed to create for them, but we needed to do something somewhat that would be symbolically musical, but not musical, which was a challenge, a really interesting challenge, and that no one else would take. And I think by being able to sort of, you know, look at all different kinds of people and all different kinds of projects as being valid and being a challenge... that's been something that our studio has really strived to do and had success with.
Well, I can tell you, working with voice actors is, you know, they have the heart for it, and they have the maybe a microphone, but they have a next door neighbor that you know, bangs around on the wall and just acts crazy. So it must be nice for somebody to get into a nice studio that they didn't have to set up and take care of whatever they need to take care of, you know, that definitely sounds wonderful from a, you know, podcaster and a voice actor like me. So yeah, that sounds great.
Well, I have to stress too, though, it's not a sterile environment around here. It is very cozy and fun. And that's something that we, you know, for a while we kind of tried to do it like the, you know, the business professional style studio, and it just wasn't creative for us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Boba Fett is totally sitting on the desk. The dogs are running around. It's definitely home at the same time that it's a workspace.
Well, and that,
I think that's important too.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that's the one thing that I'm really getting from you guys is just the whole creative aspect of it.
Oh, definitely. That's where our heart is, and that's why we got into this. You know, if you're gonna right now, I think a lot of people are realizing that it's time to follow your passion. Mm-hmm. That, you know, not following your passion and doing, you know, following that path that you think is going to work out. It doesn't always work out at the end. I mean, my dad's a General Motors retiree.
Wow.
And the picture's not turned out the way that he planned it. So you might as well follow your heart and get into that, what did your inner child really want to do? And mine really wanted to make records and, you know, paint pictures and have, you know, beautiful things go on. And so why not make that work?
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is no matter who's signing your paycheck, you're working for yourself, so you might as well be doing something you love to do.
Absolutely. And you know, just kind of in talking about the difficultness of the economy right now, I would imagine that instead of it being a really kind of a downer thing, that actually the more passionate people are still coming to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. That's been, it's sort of, they've risen to the top. It's definitely, there's been a shift. Mm-hmm. As the economic changes and the media and things. It definitely, we saw who was our client before that were our constant clients kind of wane off. And they got a little bit scared and pulled back the wallet strings a little bit and cut out different things like what we provide. But other people really started to think, what if I put this in here? What would this hurt? Let's try this. And then we get a lot more music clients at that time too, because, you know, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling something, that's when you're ready to create. Hmm. And so it's been interesting, and exactly what you say, that it has been, the passion has risen to the top like cream.
Hmm. Yeah, and you can definitely tell the strength of, or the core strength of a business by whether or not they panic in an economic situation like this, or if they carry on as business as usual.
Well, I'm very impressed with, you know, a couple that would take on a project, you know, where somebody would say, and it can't be music.
And that's your name.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my hat's off to you for that. That, you know, that's what I really kind of like about what I'm seeing is just, let's try it. You know, let's kind of think outside the box and, you know, take on these really kind of just kind of different projects. And that really, I think, is where the excitement is. You know, you mentioned Steve Vai and there, you know, Miramax for films and different things. I think there's really a lot of excitement with the whole Radiohead kind of outside the normal structure.
Once people see that can succeed, mm-hmm. that, like Trent Reznor and people like Radiohead, as you mentioned, can do something outside of what the music industry has always done, then everybody's open to it. And,
yeah.
And it's, you know, within their consciousness that, okay, this can work, and, you know, let's see what else is going to go on. And so they get curious, and curiosity is a great, great thing for creative people to know is out there, because it gives you a really comfortable place to present something different.
Well, and I think it definitely sounds like a one-stop shop for somebody just to call and say, I've got an idea, you know, what do you think? Well, you know, you've got a lot of different arms in that part to kind of take care of whatever they would need, sounds like.
Oh, definitely.
Well, we both have a strong feeling that the only things in life that are impossible are the things that you tell yourself are impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you don't believe in a possibility, then anything's possible.
True. Now, what about your audio products? Is that just kind of helping someone get the kind of products they need, or is there something more to that?
Well, actually, right now we're in development. In the past, we've just done a little bit of, you know, sort of business tip podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in the process of doing some audio books and some other kinds of projects. that will be more, you know, just buy them or download them now kind of things, both fiction and nonfiction oriented, some helpful, some just entertainment purely.
Yeah.
And we also arrange our audio services in little packages to make budgeting a little bit easier for people so they know what to expect. And a lot of times people, you know, don't realize everything that goes into a voiceover production or, you know, different kinds of audio production. So we kind of spell it out a little bit better than I think has been done in other places so that they can kind of get educated a little bit at the same time about exactly what they're paying for and get a little bit of a deal at the same time.
Well, it definitely sounds like you guys really kind of get involved like a friendship. Instead of kind of a more business thing, so you give me all the money and we'll give you what you need. It definitely sounds like there's a discussion going on and that's really cool.
Well, yeah, communication is totally, I mean, it's key. It's how we have to work. I've done a lot of mastering for different bands and post-production for album projects. And I think from that, that's where I really learned. That was kind of the first thing I dabbled in as far as a studio owner. And I think I really learned that that process has to be collaborative or you're just not going to have happy people that come back.
Hmm.
If they're surprised at the end of it and not in a good way, then you've really not done your job even if you like it. You know, you really don't have to. It's those people that you're pleasing. And, you know, I have my time when I'm writing songs and when I'm recording songs to make myself purely happy and have that be my only goal. But when it comes to dealing with clients, you know, the only way to make sure that you're being successful there is to communicate with them and really get to the heart of what they need.
Mm-hmm. I think what it comes down to is Dana and I both have kind of a really old school customer service belief that, you know, you do whatever it takes to make the customer happy. It's just the heart of business, and I think it's something that's kind of lacking in a lot of businesses today.
True. Well, I kind of happened upon Dana on Twitter, I believe it is, and because I kind of flip back and forth between Twitter and Facebook, and I definitely think that the game has changed. That.
Yeah.
Social networking sites are almost kind of where it's at. I don't know if maybe the old style of, you know, radio ads, TV ads is really the key to everything. I think that the people are looking in other avenues. What kind of response have you got from using social networking sites and microblogs for your business?
Oh, it's almost exclusively what we do now. And I think it's probably been a good year since we bought a paper ad. This way has just been so fantastic because we both enjoy using the services. I mean, it's really fun and it's really easy. And you can get so one-on-one with people in a way that cold calling, I mean, it would take you forever to try and build a relationship. Or, you know, really our business isn't the kind that can go to networking events. We're not, you know, that really doesn't work for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're able in this kind of avenue to go, hey, you know, this is what we're doing today. Here's a project we work on. You know, upload an audio file, give people a taste of exactly what we're working on while we're working on it. They know how we spend our day. They know how serious we are. And it puts us top of mind when they're ready to go to work.
Right.
And, you know, there's really, you know, it's almost like it was custom made for it. And I love it. And grows and continues to grow, and I'm going to continue to use it.
Exactly. My favorite thing about it is just the fact that it seems like in the kind of the business arena these days, people prefer to be talked to instead of at.
Sure.
And with social media, it really gives us an opportunity to you know, not just discuss business stuff with our potential clients, but also just to really get to know them and become friends.
Hmm.
And there's nothing better than making friends with people.
Sure. Well, it kind of reminds me, there's kind of a long-running joke, and I'm a little older, so I remember stuff way back, of people selling Amway. and that's kind of all you remembered about him. Is, oh, there's the Amway guy. But what I really like about you guys, and what I try and definitely model is show your life, but also, you know, every once in a while mention what you're doing as far as, you know, business or something that you're trying to promote. And I think if you find that balance, I think you're going to be a success. And it definitely sounds like you guys have.
It's I think that you're right on. It is the key that people really do care. Mm-hmm. And in a technologically based society that we're kind of becoming, if we can, you know, put some flesh and blood in that and not let ourselves become, you know, the machines.
And, right.
You know, that's really what's going to set us apart as an era. You know, it's we can make this great, or it can be really weird and awful and set us, you know, separate us all.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's great to see in the last few years, especially, just how people have dug in and brought the human aspect to it. And that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to work with and play with and be around other people that are like them, and be able to find other people like them. And I think that, you know, it makes me feel great that we've been able to find so many truly interesting people that care about what we do.
Sure. Well, I think it's interesting when you start to tell somebody about Twitter, you know, they say, how in the world can you really get to know somebody? And it's funny how there's little bits that you kind of see kind of flow by on the screen, and you kind of get to know people. You know, sorry about your car. Oh, wow, that happened 2 weeks ago. Yeah, well, you know what I mean? It's just, it is interesting, like you said, just the flesh and blood aspect of something that could be cold and mechanical. But
I think those people that don't get it are the people who just see it as people posting what they had for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to, I think those people probably don't connect anyway. You know, if they're at the gas station, they're not looking around and making eye contact with anybody. You know, that's kind of how I see the people who don't kind of get it.
Yeah.
Because it's a great opportunity that comes in 140 characters or less.
Now, Paul, I care about what you have for breakfast, so you can keep posting if you want to, but you don't have to.
Fantastic. I don't usually post that, though.
Well, see, yeah, I'm interested now. I want to know.
but you know, I mean, the funny thing is, though, is I've got a whole grouping of people right now that are following as I catalog my comic book collection and get ready to start putting it on eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it is funny how people can find a similar interest and then kind of connect on that level. And other things they may not care, but once comic books come up, they're like, okay, I'm in on this. So it is fascinating, this whole change of things. And I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I think good news and bad news also live in Twitter. And so, you know, just kind of like what you're saying is you're bringing that old school customer service back. That's going to follow you. You know, people are going to say, you know, these guys are really straight up folks. They were great to me. They helped me out. And that kind of stuff is going to stay there on Twitter. So, I mean, it's a perfect opportunity for you guys to kind of just continue to build out and have happy customers saying good things about you. So
that's the goal.
That is the goal.
Now, tell me about the record side now. What's that all about? Serious Vanity Records.
Well, you know, we both, Paul and I, have been musicians since we were little kids. And the great thing about, you know, there are a lot of people who release music independently, but not as a label. And why we sort of are a label, because it is a bit of a vanity label. It is us on there. We've done some compilations that involve a lot of other artists. But we kind of did that in the early 2000s, and we've sort of really focused in on our own music now. But there are five current artists on our roster, and we are all five of them.
Okay.
It's sort of the new vanity label is what we like to think of it as. But really, we have this great opportunity in independent music right now in order to develop whatever ideas that we have. And sometimes I have ideas that are really kind of straightforward, alternative rock kind of stuff. And sometimes I have ideas that are ambient meditation music.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them I can pursue at the same time. And, you know, that's what's really awesome about living right now. You know, I don't have to pick one and then try and get signed to a label and try and go through that entire process when I can just, you know, if I write something one day, I can upload it the next day and it's released.
Sure.
That's really kind of the meat and potatoes, I think, of what we're trying to do is not limit ourselves creatively, to try and to give each one of our projects an opportunity to find the perfect audience for it, to let those projects kind of live together. And, you know, on our roster, a lot of the compilations that we're doing now are more like the old-time mix CDs that we all used to make with a little bit of everything on it,
cool.
You know, with a central theme.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the fun stuff that we've got going on as far as our compilations now. And, you know, that's something that's really fun to create. And when we can pull from each project and go, okay, this song would kind of fit that, and that'd be kind of cool. You know, a lot of people, I don't think, give themselves permission to really explore their own music like that and really have that kind of fun with it. And that's really the heart of what we're doing right now.
It allows us to kind of explore ourselves as composers and producers rather than just a guitarist or a drummer or a bassist or...
Yes, it's not the old, you know, just put a CD out so you can sell it at shows, you know, tour around regionally, you know, the old thing that everybody's done and continues to do, and, you know, it's so wide open, and like you say, with everything with the social networking, you can really hone in and reach who would love that music the most.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, that's what we do. That's our main goal, is make music and talk about making music.
Well, I think we've all looked around on MTV and we've seen people on there that are just like, it's prepackaged and highlights and, you know, blue contacts jumping around. And when really either they're independent, not signed, or even pre-independent, there are some very talented people out there. And it's really cool that you guys kind of have your ear to the ground and are really kind of reaching out to those folks that are the songs maybe that people don't know and really sound cool. So, you know, I mean, that is a lost art. Like you were saying, the mixtape, you know, scenario. I think we've all done that, you know, growing up. And, you know, it is a lost art. It is something that, it's a sharing, maybe a feeling through a song to somebody else. So that really is kind of an incredible concept that you guys are kind of bringing back.
Well, thank you.
And it does take a lot of different forms for us too. Because I mean, Dana and I both grew up in the '70s and eighties, and you know, we grew up with vinyl and cassettes and the whole nine yards. And we still, when we craft an album or a CD, it's done in A side and B side.
You just can't lose it.
Wow. Okay.
And you know, the songs are compiled in such a way that they actually flow as a full album because that's just something that has always been an important thing for both of us. And
I don't think that, you know, we are taking part in the new download stuff. I mean, we've got music at iTunes, we've got music at Rhapsody, and all the major places. So the song by song stuff, we get that's, you know, a lot of people really, really like to listen like that. But you don't have to sacrifice the album as an art form either. And you don't have to, you know, just keep the part of it that's great, keep the part that's fun and tell a story. With the music, instead of, you know, just, you know, whine about the fact that things change.
Hmm.
They don't really have to change unless you decide you want them to.
Sure.
Just expand. You know, we can have, you know, the downloadable product too. And even that can be enhanced in ways. You can include different things with it that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do if you were just pressing CDs. You know, you wouldn't be able to include, like, on our Christmas CD last year, we created coloring book pages.
Hmm.
And, you know, as we released the songs, you know, as they got closer to Christmas, we were doing one at a time on our website. And we were including a coloring page for each song. And, you know, we got a stack of them from a local daycare, you know, where they took the day and just colored the pages and, you know, printed them out. It was just PDFs we uploaded. And, you know, stuff like that, that it becomes something that's more experiential instead of, you know, the same old stuff. And, you know, it's better to think in terms of what can you add to other than what are you getting taken away.
It's all about interaction with people. Even if you don't actually physically see the people that are listening to your music, you still want to have a personal one-on-one experience with them.
Sure. Well, I a guy I really admire coined a pretty famous phrase that I'll never forget. He says, "I don't live my life before a board." And that's definitely kind of the way it sounds like with you guys is you guys are outside the box, really just kind of going for it and, you know, keeping the old school alive, but also using new technology, but then giving a creative edge. And I think it's just great.
Thank you so much.
Now, you had mentioned a promotion you're doing right now. Tell me about it.
Well, it's for our new release that we're going to be putting out this month called Vampires and Valentines.
Okay.
What it is, it's a 12-song CD, but if for people who are pre-ordering it now off of our website, you get 3 songs immediately in high-quality download. You also get the 2-song single that we put out earlier in the summer called Detroit's Wheels Aren't Turning Anymore, and that includes that song and a cover of Blondie's Dreaming by me. And you get free shipping when the CD is finally finished this month. And we're also giving away, because so many of our fans, we've really kind of gotten to know who they are. So many of them are creative people. They either are artists themselves, or they have businesses, or they just really like support great causes. And we want to be able to give them an opportunity to get in front of each other. So thing is, for everyone who, for the first 100 pre-orders, we're going to give them a special dedication page within the album artwork, within the packaging. They're going to be able to put their names in there, as well as we're going to have a website that will have a listing of their names or links. With a description, 140 characters or less, of what it is and what it is that they want to promote. Because it just, you know, a lot of them do independent things as well, you know, as well as being musicians. A lot of them are crafters. A lot of them just have really great businesses. And, you know, it's going to be a service for them to get to know each other a little bit more. And so we want to reach out and do that as well.
And it's a really low-cost option to be able to get your name in front of our entire fan base.
That's great. That's perfect. And I definitely, a couple of things kind of, you know, came out when you guys were talking about that is just, you know, the crafter edge and the artist edge and all this kind of stuff. And what I see in 2009 with the beauty of the internet is I think it's really kind of calling people together. To either to enjoy the same things, but also I think to help each other out. And that's what I think is really fantastic when, you know, years ago you couldn't do this. I mean, you'd have to go to a convention or go to some place together, but now we can do it online. And I think that's just fantastic.
That's amazing. And things, you know, I remember I've been online, you know, since the late 90s and everything was so slow and everybody wanted these kind of things, but it just seemed like it was going to be impossible. And now everything happens so quickly. You know, if somebody, you know, the joke around the house, we're always just, every time we want something, we just, you know, there's got to be an app for that. You know, there's something for everything. And if it isn't here yet, it's being developed. So it's just easier and easier for us all to do this and connect with each other. And so why not do it? Why not take advantage of that?
Tell me about the best email you've got about your business.
Oh, goodness. Probably, I'd have to say, in the last week, what comes to mind the very first is there's a really great fellow who I love who I have no idea how he discovered our music, but he's always been just super, super supportive of us, and he made a purchase last week from us. And, you know, I send him links. What we try to do whenever people buy from us is give a little bit extra. And if they buy a physical product, we don't want them to have to wait for it. So we always create, like, a personalized page where people can go and listen to the songs while they're waiting for them. You know, we have a little flash player on the site so that they can always be listening. And there's links to different blogs we have and different things they can do while they're at the page or just have it on in the background. And, you know, I sent him all of that, and he's like, you know, I don't care about that. I just love your music. I can just wait for the CDs. This is great. And for just to really get that, you know, this is somebody who, it's not about something being on sale. You know, we've done a lot of business study. You know, we've taken courses, and we've joined programs and tried to learn what it is that you're supposed to do in business. And what it all comes down to is you just really want people to have an emotional connection to what you do and to just want it. And there's really no class that, you know, it doesn't come down to copywriting. It doesn't come down to being persuasive in a certain way or anything. It just comes down to connecting. And when you know that happens, that's just like, that is the best feeling. That's better than money in the bank because that's like a fan for life. And who doesn't want that?
Well, in my discoveries through these interviews, I think the one thing that really that I notice the most is the heart. And that's been the one thing that keeps coming through the more I talk to you guys, is that you've got a lot of heart, you care, and that's rare. So I want to commend you for that.
Thank you so much.
What? So tell folks how to find you, how to get in touch with you, and that kind of a thing.
Well, the very easiest way is to go straight to seriousvanity.com, and there's offshoot links from that page that'll take you either to our record label page or to our studio page, and you can find everything you need there.
And you have a page on Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If you go to...
We actually have...
With several pages.
Okay.
Probably the best way to find us there would be if you go to directly to my profile at Facebook/Dana Dietrich, D-E-T-R-I-C-K. You'll be able to find some links I'm going to have up there in the sidebar. That's going to be super easy. We've also got those on the main site, too.
Or you can go to mine, which is Facebook/ P. Clark.
Okay.
Those Facebook personalized things, they're not quite perfect yet.
I understand.
But anybody who wants to get to our label page on Facebook, if they just message me there, I can send them the link.
And the link's also on the main website at seriousvanity.com, as well on the record label page.
And you guys share Twitter with Ashton and Oprah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
You can find me at twitter.com/femmemfrets, FEMMEFRETS, and twitter.com/SVPaul for Paul.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking to you guys, really, and I appreciate your time. I know that time is a commodity that's you want to hang on to, but I thank you for sharing that time with me today.
Oh, I thank you so very, very much.
It's been fun.
Well, you guys take care, and we'll talk soon.
Certainly.
Right.
Have a great evening.
You too. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.roniezone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roniezone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.ronizone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hey, everyone. I'm Chris.
And I'm Cliff.
And we're Christians. And we've been made into a stereotype of people who just don't enjoy science fiction.
Well, they're just silly.
That's right, Clifford. Because here at The Jesus Geeks, we do mix theology, our love for Jesus, and also our love for everything geeky into a fun podcast.
Wow, that's amazing!
Yes, it is, Clifford. And this amazing podcast can be found at www.thejesusgeeks.com. So remember, everyone, for the latest on entertainment, culture, and the geek lifestyle from a Christian point of view, tune into The Jesus Geeks.
We're the Christian missionaries to the geek culture.
Or we could be the geek missionaries to the Christian culture.
Ooh.
So remember, everyone, if you're a geek-loving Christian out there, check out The Jesus Geeks podcast at www.thejesusgeeks.com.
Podcasting. It's the Red Boy Podcast.
You know what you're talking about.
Little morons of the world.
That's okay.
Maybe
it's a sign from God.
Like we mean it.
We are here. Amy, how are you, my love? Nice to see you again.
Blah, blah, blah.
Podcast.
Like we mean it.
His name is
Red Boy.
It's the Red Boy Podcast.
From the cornfields.
Featuring the best part of the show.
Podcasting like they mean it.
Your window onto the boulevard of the cornfields of central Illinois. That's right. It's the Red Boy Podcast featuring Absolute Amy.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.